Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Since 71 podcast. My name's Stuart, the founder, and today I'm joined by footballing royalty and Chloe Williams from Liskard Athletic. Chloe has the massive honour of being the top scorer in the Women's FA Cup last season. That's the 2020 to 2021 season. And we're going to cover some points that about her club, Liskard Athletic, about how she earned the accolade itself, and talking a little bit about general women's football. So without no further ado, I introduce you to Chloe. How are you doing, Chloe?
Hello, I'm not too bad, thanks. How are you?
I'm all good. As we said off air, we arranged to do this at 8 p.m. Time of recording, and I was in charge of putting my two-year-old daughter to bed. She fell asleep at 8:05, so fortunately I've been able to get in here on time and I didn't keep you waiting around too long.
It's fine.
It all worked out well in the end, just about. But sort of jumping straight into it, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your sort of footballing background?
Yeah, so my name's Chloe, I'm 25 and I've more or less been playing football my whole life. My dad's always been a footballer. He did get to a semi-professional level, and then my mum was into athletics, so I've been involved in quite a sporty family. And literally, football is my life.
Amazing. So who did your dad play for?
Oh, and all I know is that it was a team in Reading that he played for, because that's where we came from originally.
Right.
And then he started getting troubles with his knees, so then he unfortunately had to go into the coaching side of it from then onwards.
So he's living vicariously through you a little bit.
Yeah.
So obviously you've had that sort of background in football. So can you remember when you first started playing outside of just a local park, having a kick about, and you joined a team?
Yeah. So the very first sort of memory that I've got is when my dad was playing football in his sort of local area, I would tag along and just sort of, you know, kick the ball on the sideline with my brothers. And we'd be doing that for ages, the entire game. Afterwards, they'd struggle to get us to go home because we'd just be having such a great time kicking the ball around. And then just sort of, I must have been, I don't know, 7 or 8 before I joined my first sort of local boys team, as it was back then, because obviously girls' football was near enough non-existent by this point. And yeah, so...
And how did you find that?
I guess I was kind of oblivious to it at that sort of age. Didn't really think too much of it. Because obviously when you're sort of at primary school and things like that, you're playing with boys and girls anyway, no matter what sport you're doing. So to me, I didn't think much of it and just thought, okay, I'll join my local football team and I'll just play with the boys for forever, you know. But then obviously they had a bit of restriction on it. I think it was, back when I was playing when I was younger, I think to the age of 14, I think that's the oldest you could go to, and then you'd have to find a women's team from then onwards.
So it happened. And was there a point where you became conscious of being... Were you the only female on the team?
I was.
And was there a point that you became conscious of that at all?
I don't think it ever really fazed me. I mean, I did get sort of bullied at one point whilst playing football. But I always put it to the fact that I was probably better than them, and their only way of coping with it was to bully me for it, which, you know, absolutely fine.
Yeah. Did you find that was more from opposition players or sometimes within your own team, sadly?
A mix I'd say it's more opposition. It did happen occasionally in the team that I was playing. But luckily I was quite close with the manager that was there. And obviously I just spoke to him about all of it and he sorted it out right away. And in terms of the opposition, I always got funny looks until I was the one running past them with the ball, beating their team.
Amazing. And is it something that you think has impacted your footballing career for the better because of the education that you had playing with boys?
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that I sort of had those experiences, although I know that they weren't positive ones, but they're the sort of things that make you stronger for it and sort of give you the attitude of not to care about what other people think, what other people say to you.
So what position do you play in?
I am a striker. Used to be a midfield back when I was younger, but now I've sort of scooched my way onto the top.
I guess I probably spoiled it a little bit by saying that obviously you won the golden ball at the FA Cups, and clearly you're going to be someone that's not good. You're not going to be a goalkeeper or in defence.
Funnily enough, I used to be a goalkeeper.
Oh, really? At what sort of ages?
Back when I was a lot younger. I don't think I was a goalkeeper for long, for probably obvious reasons. But no, yeah, I started off as a goalkeeper, and then midfield, and then now I'm up top.
Slowly worked your way forwards and banging in the goals.
Yep.
So, Liskard Athletic, whereabouts in the world is it, first and foremost, for all of us that aren't aware?
In the depths of Cornwall. I mean, my geography is pretty horrific. I just know it's in Cornwall because I actually live in Devon. So I've got about a 40, 45-minute journey to get down to Liskard.
So whereabouts is it you live at the moment?
I live in Lifton. I've just said it and you've probably got no idea.
So could you tell us a little bit about the league that Liskard play in, or should I say have just got promoted from, and the league that you just got promoted to?
Yeah, so we were the league that we're now in, we were originally in as our old team because we used to be Callington Ladies Football Club, and then their sort of new ownership got involved, and then it just got a bit messy sort of behind the scenes. So the only way we could stay together and play football as a group of girls as we are now, we were to sort of change our team name, but then also drop a league, which was pretty tough on all of us because we worked so hard as the Callington team to sort of win that league. And for that to have happened, then get told we couldn't carry on unless we changed our team name and dropped down a league so that we could still play together. It kind of broke us all, but then again, it was also quite a good motivator for all of us as Liskard to smash that league to then go back up to where we are now, back where we belong.
Did you manage to retain the same sort of the core of the team at that point?
Yeah, more or less all of us and a couple few newbies we've got as well, but the main sort of core part of the team were all still there.
So that was you've just got promoted from the sixth tier of the pyramid and you're now playing in tier five. So what teams are you going to be competing against next year?
I think we got we've got like Forest Green, Sherborne, quite a few teams that are further afield, so there's going to be a lot more travelling involved.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest impacts when you do start to climb up the leagues. Well, so I currently coach at a promoted fourth tier team called Moneyfields, based in Portsmouth, and we've got St Austell in our league. So yeah, I think it's a sort of a three and a half to 4 hour drive there and back. So could well be an overnight trip with that one.
Overnight jobby, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what you want to get promoted, to be honest, isn't it? You don't want to be playing the same teams all on your doorstep. You want to be travelling farther afield and testing yourself against some of the best teams in your region. So it's definitely something that we're all excited about as a club. It's going to be a really competitive one. So we're looking forward to it. And then we've obviously got the FA Cup draw, but we'll move on to that in a little bit. But could you tell us...
Enjoy it all.
Yeah, definitely. It's just us after COVID and not having it, it just makes every single training session and every single weekend really special and something to really look forward to. I don't know. How did COVID affect yourself?
A lot more than I thought it would. I guess I hadn't realised by that point how much it's going to sound quite, I don't know, cliche or cringy, but how much football actually meant to me and how much of a getaway that it was, along with the sort of like, obviously the social side of it, getting to see all my friends and whatnot. But yeah, it did hit me quite hard, if I'm honest.
And how did the squad manage that? Did you all stay in contact quite a lot through COVID, or did you all kind of like focus on yourselves and your own families a little bit?
Yeah, so we've got a team group chat anyway. And I think it was during the first lockdown, we did a sort of mini competitions. Yep. Or like daily challenges that we do.
Oh, the Zoom quizzes. I'd almost forgot about the Zoom quizzes.
The quizzes, the drinks, all of it. It was, you know, we kept one another going. We checked in on one another sort of individually as well as a whole group as well, which is quite nice. We just sort of kept everything going.
So it sounds like it's really a real close-knit group then.
I call it my second family.
Oh, and who is the...
It's very nice.
Can you tell us a little bit about the head of the family, the first team coach?
Mm. Yeah, so good old Lee. Yeah, no, he's great friends. So we have Lee as our main manager. We've recently had two new coaches coming as well. We got Simon Wallace, who used to be the manager for Buckland Athletic.
Right.
And we've also got another coach that's come in who sort of helped train us when we were Callington as well. So he's come back over.
Excellent. So you've got a proper team of coaches.
We've got the whole shebang now, the whole hog. Liskard, massive.
Goalkeeping coach?
The two coaches that we've just brought in, they are goalkeepers. So I think there's going to be a mixture of those two doing a bit of goalkeeper coaching as well as coaching us as well.
Excellent. As someone that used to play in goal, it's always that position that you tend to forget about. It all gets forgotten about. So yes, that's great to hear. And what are the club's biggest local rivals?
I think for us in the, obviously the league that we've just come out of, I think our biggest rivals in that was Helston. We always had a little rivalry with them, sort of jokey rivalry. It's a nice bit of competition.
Is that a geographical rivalry or more that they were competing in the league with you?
Competing in the league, I think.
Well,
always feisty game.
Yeah, good. Every club needs it.
Always exciting. Made it even better.
Well, women's football does need it. I know I have many conversations with fans where they want it, women's football, to be all very nice and respectful. And to a degree, I agree with that. But I think these sort of rivalries are brilliant. It gets people excited and it gets a buzz around a local area. And it's not...
Yeah, we love it.
Well, it's not a coincidence that you tend to find that those games, you have bigger attendances. So clearly the fans want it. And I guess as a player, you probably quite like it too.
It just adds into more of the... I don't know, it just puts a whole different mood onto it. It just doesn't feel like a normal game. Be like, right, these are our rivals. And then everyone sort of turns it up a notch. Obviously not to the point where we're kicking one another, it's not that bad, but just adds that extra bit of feistiness to it.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with a bit of healthy competition, and if the crowd want to get involved with a little bit of pantomime booing, then I think that works. I don't think any players can begrudge that, especially if it doesn't, as long as it doesn't get personal, then if it adds to atmosphere, that's what grows the local game. And hopefully we'll see a little bit more of those kind of encounters. Like, I know I'm always a big fan when the National League put on their midweek games, when you've got the two local derbies. Games under the lights, there's nothing like that. So your personal achievements for Liskard have turned heads within women's football, as you've been honoured with receiving the accolade of the FA Cup's top scorer last season with 12 goals, including 7 in one game. Firstly, how did that achievement make you feel?
It's, to be honest, it's only really just sunk in now. It's not something I ever thought I would achieve, ever. So for me to get it was massive confidence boost. And it just makes me want to win it again this year.
where does the trophy live right now?
It lives in the lounge, in plain sight, so everyone's got no choice but to see it as they come in.
Brilliant. Is there times that you have like walked around the house and just kind of had to you've noticed it and been like, oh, there it is again, and you have a little moment to yourself?
Yeah, to be fair, it's going to sound quite sad, but I have had a few occasions where I literally just look at it and go, I actually won that. And I beat those players.
Yeah, you're something you should definitely be proud about, because it's you've got an award that the likes of Sam Kerr, Alessia Russo, they didn't get it. You got it. You're the top scorer of a internationally renowned competition, and it's fantastic. So when you scored your 12th goal, did you ever think that you would finish the competition as top scorer? What point in the competition did you think, hang on a minute, no one scored as many goals as me?
I mean, I was completely oblivious to the whole top goal scorer leaderboard anyway. I had no idea it was a thing. As daft as that sounds, but I just had no idea. And then I think we got to, I think it was just before the third game. My manager said to me, he was like, you do realise you're top goal scorer in the FA Cup. And I was like, well, what do you mean? I was like, they're not doing that, are they? And he was like, yeah, you've got so many goals. And I was like, oh, I didn't realise. And then, yeah, I did not expect to finish it. Considering how early on we sort of went out, I didn't expect to stay at the top that entire time.
So,
which makes it that little bit more special.
Definitely. And which point in the competition did it really start to become a thing for you, where you were looking out and seeing who had scored what, and that you were monitoring the current list of top goal scorers?
I think it was literally from that moment onwards. Once I'd sort of known the top goal scorer leaderboard was a thing, I was like, I've got to make sure I win it.
Yeah.
So I'd be checking it all day, every day, so you, making sure no one gets near me.
When the draws came out, you were hoping that there weren't two particularly mismatched teams. You want everyone to be sort of quite close and quite competitive.
Yeah. I held my breath each time.
Let's sort of revisit and find out how you got there. So Lisgard entered at the first qualifying round and you took on Callington Town.
Yes.
We need to acknowledge the scoreline. It was 28.
It was a big one.
Nil. But how was the match for you?
It's kind of a tricky one. I mean, I think I'd also broken a record for the Lisgard club to score the quickest goal. I scored in the first 10 seconds of the game.
Right, and how did that come?
And apparently that was a club record, so.
And how did that come about?
Literally just kick off, ran straight with the ball, took a shot, went in.
So you picked up the ball from the sort of the centre spot and...
Yeah, literally straight from the start, straight off, straight through.
Wow. And, well, what can you remember about all other seven goals? Do you have a favourite?
I think one of them was a header, which I was super impressed with because I do not score headers ever. So for me to do that, it's an incredible achievement for myself.
And how were Callington at the time during the match? Because it must have been a bit demoralising for them. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like, it sort of got to a point where we were, I'm not sure how all the other girls felt, but I felt really bad. I thought, I knew if I was in their shoes, I'd be dreading the rest of the game. I'd almost feel like I wouldn't want to play, but we gave them their dues. Like they did play their best. They kept their spirits up. None of them got agitated or annoyed with us or anything. They just carried on playing regardless of the scoreline. They just ignored it. They'd be like, all right, you know, it's 0-0. And just sort of play that way with that mindset, like we sometimes do with our games. So if the scoreline starts to sort of annoy any of us, we'll just turn around and be like, look, it's 0-0, we go again and we carry on. And that's the sort of mindset Callington had, which was really nice. And then we all just sort of had fun and joked as we went through it, just to make it that bit more enjoyable and not really care about the scoreline.
Yeah, so it was all sort of quite sort of good natured, and they were happy. Everyone was probably happy when the final whistle was blown.
Yeah, they ran for those drinks after.
But to be fair, they probably definitely deserved them.
Oh, yes, 100%.
So that took you to the second qualifying round against Ottery St Mary's, where you came away 11-0 winners. How was that game for you? It was obviously a little bit closer, but still comfortable.
Yeah, it was a little bit harder. I do have to own up and say I was actually very hungover that day.
And still scored a hat-trick.
So hungover. And still got a hat-trick. So you know, I can't complain massively. But it was still another competition for us, because sometimes, or I've found in the time that I've been playing, when you, even though you might play in a higher league and you play against sort of lower league teams, you tend to bring yourself down to their level.
Sure.
Not in like a mean way. You don't realise you're doing it sometimes, and you'll just sort of bring yourself down to that level, which is kind of what we ended up doing in the game against Ottery. So in all fairness, we probably could have scored a couple more, but we just sort of focused a bit more on our sort of gameplay and things like that,
yeah,
rather than just banging in numerous amount of goals. Just sort of work on the build up before we shoot, sort of.
Definitely. So we got almost a little, everyone kind of got a little bit scrappy and a bit quite direct, was it?
It wasn't too bad. There was the odd shin kick here and there, but that's expected nowadays.
So this took you to the third qualifying round where you took on Axminster Town. This was a much closer game that Wikipedia shows as 4-0. But we spoke off air and you thought that the score was slightly different. So we're going to go with what you think. And you said that it was 4-2 of Axminster grabbing a couple of goals themselves.
Potential. I know it was a lot closer a game than the previous ones. But again, I could be completely wrong.
Could have been hungover, could have been hungover for that game too.
No, I was actually fresh-faced that day.
Yeah. And obviously... So,
fresh as a daisy, that one.
And how did you feel going into that game? Because obviously at that point you knew that you were top scorer in the competition.
We were sort of... I think we all sort of realised how far along, you know, we'd sort of got. First time being in the competition, first time as this new team. And I think we, by this point, we sort of really felt like we could be the underdogs and really thought, you know, we could go far in this if we obviously believe in ourselves enough, which we did. So to have won that game, to then go to the next stage, it was such a good feeling.
And from a personal perspective, in the build-up, how did you feel? Were you nervous?
I was a little bit. I mean, I'm always nervous before games anyway, regardless of whether they're sort of cup games, FA Cup games, anything like that. But I think for me, it was the whole top goal scorer thing was sort of sinking in by that point. So there might have been an added bit of nerves, but nothing I couldn't handle.
Yeah, well, you came away with two goals on the day. And can you remember anything about either of those goals? Do you have a favourite one?
No, I think they're both pretty level. I mean, I screamed my absolute head off for both, so...
Yeah? Oh, brilliant.
That was great fun.
Brilliant. It's almost like a little bit of a release then.
It's a crazy kind of buzz you get once you just sort of see the ball hit the back of the net and then you literally lose your mind for a few seconds.
And so how did everyone feel when you'd got through to that, to the first round proper and the draw was being made and you picked up Cheltenham Town?
I think a majority of people were surprised. I don't think many people thought we'd get that far.
Yeah.
So for us to sort of do it, just made it all that little bit better.
Yeah.
Much more of an achievement for us all.
Because within that round, you had all of the National League sides, so you could have got anyone. So I think that was a really good draw. Cheltenham Town obviously got promotion from their league this year, and that was a competitive league that contained Southampton Women, Exeter City, and AFC Bournemouth. So you did go out 4-0 to them, but there's certainly no discredit in a result like that. And obviously, did you notice a step up in facilities when you went away to them at all, or not?
Yes. Yeah, there was quite a step up in all of it, to be completely honest. Even sort of atmosphere-wise, there was a sort of a slight change, but we embraced all of it. We went in knowing that we could be the underdogs, but then also knowing how much of a higher level that they are and how they've more than likely got these high-level coaches in with them, training a couple times a week. Obviously we only do once a week, but no, we all still went in with our heads held high, and although we lost 4-0, but that almost didn't faze us as such. We were happy with that result, and we sort of made a weekend of it as well. So we all went up, I think it was the night before we all went up, and then sort of had the game. We'd gone out the night before for food and drink, just sort of had a good time with it all.
Excellent. But then that's the sort of the memories that you get from the FA Cup, and that's for me what makes it so special, because I imagine were there probably some of your friends and family that did the same?
Yeah, so quite a few people came up with us. Sort of, we all stayed in the same hotel, and yeah, it's just we sort of saw it as another way to bond as a team.
Do you think?
Which was really nice.
Do you think that experience helped you, even though you lost the game, do you think it helped you with the rest of the season and the run-in?
Yeah, massively. It did bring us a lot closer, you know. We sort of all thought, look how far we've all come, like as a team, like we've all pushed one another to get this far in the competition. And we just sort of thought of it as no matter how far we get, whether it be in this FA Cup or in the league, like we're still going to be a close-knit team. And we sort of all take one another above and beyond as much as we can. Don't leave anyone behind.
Amazing. And obviously you didn't score in that game, sadly, but were there chances to score? Were you left sort of frustrated on that front?
There were a few chances. I think I got a headbutt to the back of the head when I was in on goal. So that ruffled a few feathers on that one. And it's actually on their highlight video, which was delightful. I do not fall elegantly, I can say that much.
Okay, well, we won't do it. I won't add that into the show notes or anything like that. But maybe I'll have a little look later tonight.
No, that's
myself.
Fine.
But
I think it's on their Twitter page, so yeah.
Oh, we'll have a little gander. But obviously, there have been some changes in next season's FA Cup with a much welcomed and much needed increase in the prize money. So Liskard would have earned approximately £1,600 for taking part in those four rounds. But under Lewis Football Club's equal pay campaign, I've been able to work out that Liskard could have earned closer to £26,000 during that cup run. Could you even imagine what the club could do with a sum like that?
Yeah, I mean, it leaves me speechless, you just saying that. So if we were to actually, or the club rather, were to get that money, it would help massively.
It's crazy. I know there are some clubs that are probably in two or three tiers higher than Liskard who don't necessarily have a budget of that. And it's certainly something that's exciting for this year, the fact that the prize money has increased, because it will have such a massive impact when it comes to... I know a lot of clubs are citing any investment they have got as going towards sort of facilities, resources... But I'd like to just see it go to the players a little bit. If you could, like, as a club, no one's paying subs. It could be a win bonus on there, and for me, that really needs to be the future for grassroots clubs. When you look across at men's football within sort of the steps 5 to 7, they're getting these kind of sums in the men's FA Cup, and they're getting these sort of sums to pay players and. It's the sort of thing that does need to move. And I know from you guys, do you play on a grass pitch?
Yes, we do, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously with the terrible weather that we always have in the winter, just to have more 3G surfaces is have a massive impact. And this sort of money would go a hell of a long way. So fingers crossed for another run.
We're heading in the right direction.
Definitely, definitely. But I guess, are you almost a little bit frustrated that Liskard don't enter till the second qualifying round now you've been promoted?
It's not fazed me too much personally. I mean, there is the slight worry of I've got one less game to get the goals in, but makes it that little bit more exciting to see how many I can just squeeze in now.
Definitely. Well, within the draw, you've been drawn away to Seaton Town. What do you know about them?
I don't know anything about them. I've never come across them, I don't think, personally. So it'll be a nice new team to play against.
So it'll be a really sort of, I guess as a club, you'll be more worrying about yourselves and the opposition then and getting them to defend against you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I can't remember if a couple of our players who've played for different teams at the time and played against them, but I've not had a chance to speak to them and just sort of get the down low and the details.
Well, I think there are going to be plenty of people within women's football circles that are going to be watching for that game and rooting for you to see if you can get ahead early on. But looking back on all of it, you're saying it's only just sort of sinking in now. How do you think you're going to feel about this achievement as you kind of stop playing and as you reach your sort of 30s, 40s, 50s and hopefully when you have sort of your children and children's children?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that's always, it's obviously always going to stick with me. It's a huge achievement to be able to say to people that I've won the FA Cup Golden Ball. I'm in, like, FA Cup history. Like, saying it now, it still leave me speechless. Like, it just blows my mind, honestly.
Didn't you get... You went to Wembley to receive the trophy itself?
Yes, I did, yeah. And then watch the final itself as well, which was incredible. We had to walk the long way around to get to the entrance we needed to go through because we just had sort of the normal match day tickets and I didn't have a sort of, not sure what they call it, but like the right accreditation to say obviously why I was there. Although I was there to watch the game, but obviously I was there for a bit more than that, but they didn't know. So there's a bit of a faff of all of that. And then getting down onto pitch side to be able to receive the award, one of the security guards, which he was obviously doing his job by all means, because I didn't have the right pass on me, they were sort of saying, no, you can't go on pitch side because you've not got the right pass and all this, that and the other. Luckily, they let me go through in the end because it was literally pop onto the side of the pitch for 5-10 minutes and then go sit back down so everything else could carry on. But all in all, it was an incredible day, incredible experience.
When were you presented with it? Was this before the game, half time?
Before the game. So we more or less got taken in early. Sort of shown our seats, given sort of 10-20 minutes to look around, let it all sort of, you know, sink in, get the cheeky pictures in on all those bits. And then one of the guys came up and got me and said, oh, do you mind popping down on pitch side to meet Faye White, yeah, who presented me the award. We had a little bit of a chat and then I just tried to let it sink in.
Oh, amazing. It must have been a real buzz. And I can imagine how proud everyone must have been. And also hopefully you afforded a little bit of a moment to be proud of yourself as well.
I gave myself a couple of minutes, yeah.
Talking about another recent competition that ended at Wembley, England winning the Euros. How was it for you? Did you get to watch any games?
I was there in person and it was incredible. It was amazing.
Same. Yeah, I was... Same. I managed to go to 4 of the England games. I think.
Oh wow! Yeah, I only managed to go to the one.
Yeah, I was really lucky. I, being based in Portsmouth, we had England games in Brighton and Southampton. So I just booked up those tickets before the fixtures were on, and just stroke of luck that England managed to finish top of the group, and I managed to get the extra game.
Yeah.
But yeah,
couple of my friends did that.
It was absolutely unreal. You must have been a bit disappointed that the Southwest wasn't really well represented. I personally feel that Plymouth would have been a great place to stage one of the games.
You would have thought so, but I'm guessing it's just not something they look into. Maybe it's just a quick and easy option for them to choose those places rather than bring it more down this way, regardless of obviously the achievements we've had down this way.
Yeah,
you never know with their train of thoughts, do you?
Yeah, well, I think I understand that a lot of stadiums were approached, but then some of them didn't take up an option or didn't apply to have them. But either way, whichever way it came from, it was a real shame because I think the sort of Southwest can sometimes seem like a bit of an overlooked area. For international matches and. It'll be great to get the Lionesses touring round the UK with a lot more of the games. I know they're back in Stoke soon. I think it's the Luxembourg game offhand. So it'd be great if we can sort of move around. It's good that it's in the Midlands, but it'd be great to kind of move it around and kind of get to all four corners of England so every fan gets a chance to see it without having to go do a little overnight trip somewhere. But I know that... I saw a lot of stories from women that have played the game at sort of varying levels, some that are still playing, some that have retired and stopped playing, but all of them were just almost found it a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as that final whistle went, I think even I sort of almost cried, more or less. Not entirely sure why. I think it was literally the fact that women's football used to not even be spoken of. It will be put on some random channel on the TV. But now it's everywhere. And for us to win the Euros against Germany in the way that we did, it's just insane.
Do you feel that it legitimises the women's game and that at every level would and should receive more respect.
Yeah, I think it's going to help sort of all levels of women's football now massively, because it's just sort of proven that we are just as good as the men. Like, you know, like, why should we receive less than what they do? We are just as good, if not better. So why do we almost need to suffer?
The sport in itself is just, it's much more fun. I used to be a Man United season ticket holder, but I think as I've got more and more into the women's game, it's women's football is overtaken. I used to have a little unwritten rule with my partner that if Man United are on the telly, I get control of the remote. But now I kind of save up those opportunities for whenever there's a WSL match on, or if ever I want to go out and watch a match instead. It's just really pleasing. I don't know if you found the same. I found a lot of people were sending me text messages. I'm watching women's football, and wow, they're really good. And that's why I kind of wondered whether you found sort of similar things, whether we all sort of like work colleagues, maybe perhaps they obviously probably know and care about you, so they took it seriously. But if there's that extra level that everyone wanted to talk to you about it because they associated you with women's football and they felt like they had common ground now, I suppose.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, I used to get people that would come up to me and be like, oh, I watched so-and-so play the other day at the women's football. And I'm like, you sound surprised. And they'll be like, yeah, they're like, it was a really good game. It's better than the men's. And I'm like,
yeah, now come watch me at
what
Liscard.
What can I say? Like, yeah, come to Liscard, watch a proper game, and then we'll go from there.
Definitely.
But no, yeah, it's just great. Great to see how much it's just sort of come about. It's like back in secondary school, I used to just try and get a team together. And you get the first couple of sessions, a few girls would come, and then after that it would literally just sort of die right down. But like I said earlier, with everything that's happened in the Euros and in women's sport in general, I guess, it's how much it's picked up. It's just incredible to see. It makes me proud to be a part of women's football.
Definitely. And as the father of a two-year-old girl, it's encouraging that whatever sport she wants to play, if she doesn't play football, it won't be through lack of exposure, but whatever sport she wants to play, she's going to have opportunities, and that means a lot.
Yeah. But it's quite nice for you, though, as well, to also see that she's going to have so many more opportunities now to
definitely she's
do what she wants.
And it's trying to make sure that she's also, when she gets old enough, to kind of really take note of it, to know what came before. To, like, for me, I'm 39 at the end of the month, and I'm old enough to realize that, hang on a minute, 10 years prior to my life, women were banned from playing football. It's bonkers.
It's mad.
Yeah, in our lifetimes, we think that sort of thing and be like, oh no, we're so more progressive these days. But it's all within our lifetimes. So, but we've got to look forwards and try not to look too far back. It's going to be really exciting. So, on that note, looking forward, what are your personal aims with Liscard next year?
The main one, I think, will just be to win this league. You know, completely smash this league as a team, which we always set out to do every season. And just sort of make a bigger name for ourselves. And get further along in the FA Cup as well, and potentially be more of the underdogs in that one, and just sort of see what comes about.
See if you can go one better than the first round proper.
Yeah. Get beyond that, get to the final, we'll win it all.
Amazing. Well, I can tell you one thing for sure. I'm going to have the Twitter notifications turned on, and monitoring it and looking out for all of the results, and keep my fingers crossed that you guys have every success, because it sounds like you're all doing the right things, and I think it's going
to
be
raring to go.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time for the club. So when you do come on, will you come back on once you're top scorer of your league and the FA Cup again?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, whenever you want me on, let me know and I shall be there.
And so where can our listeners follow the exploits of Chloe Williams and Liscard Athletic?
So you can either get me on my Twitter, which is at ChloeWills27, or you do have my Instagram, which is, again, at ChloeWills97. And then we also have the Liscard Women's Twitter page, which is Lisk AFC Women.
Excellent. Well, I'll be sure to give you a follow. And thanks for coming on. Best wishes for the rest of the season, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.